Good evening. James McCanny here with my Science Hour, April 21st, 2011. And wow, this past week, some misinformation starting to show its colors. Last week, I did a special on something called Comet Elenin. And after another week of viewing what's been going on the Internet, people trying to make analysis based on NASA published orbits, some very strange activity, and what it does appear is that this was a big fishing lure and they're hoping that everybody bites on it. More specifically than anybody else, that I would bite on it. It looks like somebody's going on a fishing trip and I'm the fish. So at any rate, I'm going to talk about that, but I'm going to raise the question right out of the gate here. Is Comet Elenin even real? NASA has not presented any data that would suggest that there is such a thing as Comet Elenin. They've put up some orbits, but NASA itself has not produced any of the pictures that normally would go along with such a comet. And there's just, well, anyway, I will go into that. And so it looks like a fishing trip. There's already talk of mass suicides because of the fear that people will have over this comet. People are using my name all over the place, saying James McCanny theory, using it to interpret and make all kinds of wild predictions. As I started my show last week and talking about this, by the way, the misinformation crew, I should call them that, they're like little moles that pop up, or pocket gophers that pop their heads out of holes. And they're all popping their heads out of the hole, their various holes, at the same time. So clearly a very well-coordinated misinformation campaign going on. So anyway, I'm undertaking this upon myself to try and get real information about this. At this point, I'm going to call it alleged Comet Elenin. Because, as I say, NASA really hasn't produced any proof that there is such a comet. And so anyway, this requires a bit of research. And also, Comet Elenin, according to the maps and the orbital maps that NASA has provided, should be in a very good viewing position for all kinds of amateurs to view and provide the standard, just the flux of pictures that would be coming in on the Internet right now. Magazines like Sky and Telescope would put up a special web page where pictures from amateur astronomers all over the world would be posting their pictures. But guess what? There aren't any. So at any rate, as I said, this is going to take a little bit of research to see. Anyway, I'll talk more about that in some of the misinformation regarding this, what I'm calling now alleged Comet Elenin. Okay, so anyway, last week, let me just, it's really interesting. I know when I'm hitting on topics that are getting to the crux of issues that the bankers don't want. And when I talk about bankers, I don't mean the guy down at your corner bank. I'm talking about the European bankers who have, let's put it this way, they have entire flocks of people working for them. These are the European bankers that basically control about 160 governments around the world. They don't control all of them. They didn't control Gaddafi. They don't control Venezuela, Chavez. They don't control Castro in Cuba. And that's why those countries are considered the axis of evil, the terrorist groups of the world, and against democracy, whatever. Anyway, but last week I brought up a topic, and it was based on an email sent by a listener from England. It was a very innocent email, one would think. And the question arose, where did I first see the Colburn? What form was it in? Was it handwritten? Was it in original text copies? And so I started answering that question on the air. Well, gee, isn't that interesting that at that time the feed got cut and there are 9 minutes that were lost on the air. That was on the original Thursday night airing. And so the archive that is on my webpage has that 9 minutes, so make sure you go and listen to those 9 minutes if you lost it last week. And you'll learn what there are some people out there who just might not want you to hear about such things. But basically, that cues me that I'm going to do a lot more work on talking about not just the content of the Colburn, but where it came from, the misinformation, and the tremendous effort to bury that book in misinformation. And I've seen a lot of things behind the scenes where it's very clear that there are some powers out there that have a lot of influence, a lot of money, a lot of resources behind them that are trying to put the Colburn out of commission, let's put it that way. But anyway, I'll just add a few little nuggets here. Now that we're moving, interestingly enough, into the Easter week, and of course that's about the crucifixion, and some people would want you to think it's about the Easter Bunny or shopping at Macy's. Well, that's not my picture of Easter, okay? And but the situation is after the crucifixion of Christ, his the uncle of Mary, the mother of Christ, his name was Joseph of Arimathea, and he had a library, he had a vast library. He was a businessman. He was involved in trade with England and many other parts of the Roman Empire at that time. He was a Roman dignitary, and he didn't like the fact that what they did to Christ. And so anyway, he moved his vast library and resources to England at that time, and he took Mary and Magdalene with him. And it's believed also that he took the cross to England, where it still resides. But he took his library, and around, I forget the exact year, and I'm going to at some point go back and revisit this, but he built an abbey in England, an establishment, and started out as a small complex and ended up as quite a larger establishment through the centuries, of course. Till around the very early Middle Ages, the Romans sent an army out to destroy it. Well, of course, it was interesting to note that the Roman army talked about that area as a place where nobody should go. They were afraid of going into that area because there were rings of resistance or armament or what you might call protection around that abbey. But at any rate, they sent in enough troops at one point to destroy it. Well, they wanted to destroy the information. And so you find throughout history there's been a tremendous effort by certain groups of people who want to control the world. They do it through banking. They do it through war. They have an entire treasure chest of tricks, and they're still using that same treasure trove of tricks today. But at any rate, the Colburn was the result of the recombination after the destruction of the abbey. A good portion of the books were removed, but some of them, they couldn't get everything out, so some of it was burned. And so the people went back and they salvaged what they could of the burnt books. And at this point, this is where some of the very bizarre stories come in of the misinformation crew. And remember that the misinformation crew uses nutcases. They love to use these nutcases that have little egos that need stroking and really can put out a bunch of no other word for it than just plain misinformation about the source of the Colburn. So at any rate, and then also some distorting the contents of the Colburn. But at any rate, the books were then kept in safety and then finally moved to basically to the other side of the world and kept there until they were passed down from through families, basically, because that's the only way such a treasure could be held. And so finally they were put together in a text. So the Colburn that you can purchase now through the site in Australia, the chaldeantrust.org, you can go to my webpage and get the link to that. And by the way, do not buy the one that they're trying to sell on Amazon that is just a, it's the misinformation copy, the distorted version that the misinformation crew is trying to pawn off as the Colburn. Go get the real version in Australia at chaldeantrust.org, C-U-L-D-I-A-N, trust.org. And they also mentioned the fact that I was the one that introduced that book to the, basically on the internet to the world. Later, my book came out, Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection. But I just wanted to mention, I'm somewhat repeating what I talked about last week. I'll be going into a lot more detail in the future. But the reason I'm repeating it, because 9 minutes of this show was cut off the air last week. So I will be talking a lot more about the Colburn. Okay, another topic that I want to bring up here in Calculate Primes is a book that I wrote quite a few years ago, and it had quite a large impact on just about everything that is done today. The book basically shows how to directly calculate prime numbers. And so the ability to calculate prime numbers seemed to send shockwaves through a number of the communities, including the secure computing communities, because prime numbers were used as the basis of what were known as RSA codes. And so I was rather surprised at the reception this work got actually within the mathematics community. And that itself was very strange. I would have expected that the 2,500-year-old mathematics problem that had finally been solved and the complete understanding of the prime numbers, giving it a algebraic system, a closed algebraic system, where the prime numbers have symmetry, reciprocity, closure, many other mathematical properties, that would have been a big thing. And then to find out that, first of all, upon hearing this, mathematicians in math analysis groups around the world would become very excited. And then all of a sudden, a week or two later, it was like nobody wanted to talk about it. And So it was a very strange phenomenon to see, and it's still going on today. So let me see if I can pull up the article on that. If I don't have it with me, I don't have that particular article with me. But somebody sent it. A fan sent this article this past week showing that the RSA codes, the encryption codes, which now are broken, are still being taught in universities. And there was a web page that did an expose on explaining how the RSA codes work, because the patents actually are out of date, and so now that can become public information. So at any rate, what was interesting was to see in the blogs that the students are talking about doing their student projects with RSA codes. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Everybody in the secure computing industry knows that prime numbers have no value anymore in secure computing. So why I'll ask it again. Why on earth are universities in the United States teaching this at the college and university level, and students are still trying to learn and understand the RSA codes in the methods of encryption based on prime numbers, when a third grader can break these codes very easily? So at any rate, none of this makes any sense. And so, as with other work, when I, for example, introduced the book Atlantis to Tesla, The Colburn Connection, it's very much exposed for the first time a lot of the history and the connection to ancient science and to the Colburn. All kinds of facts came out, historical issues came out in that book that cut right at the heart of the secret societies that have been trying to operate and manipulate the world. And so it was not exactly like I gained fans in that arena. A lot of the people that was a very well, good, very highly a well-received book, and in fact it sold out the first two printings the first night it was available. It was released on Coast to Coast. So anyway, it was interesting to see a number of things that happened with Calculate Primes when it was released, and how the information was squelched even within the mathematics community. Now, I always thought that the mathematics community would be a lot more open and receptive to change than, say, NASA and the science community. Well, I was wrong. But then in discussing this and in retrospect, looking back, it really is kind of a quagmire, because not only does this open up new avenues of mathematical analysis, it's the basis of all numbers. It's not being taught in the grade schools. This is something third graders can understand. It gives an entirely new concept for multiplication tables. Remember sitting there with brute force memorizing your multiplication tables? Well, the new method of using prime numbers as a basis for multiplication provides a whole new number system, a whole new understanding of numbers. So why on earth are our kids not using this system in our schools? It's very intentional. Why are the university students still learning the RSA codes and encryption techniques if they're out of date and have no earthly use? So I got to thinking and discussing this with some people that I talk to on a regular basis, and it dawned on me, and this goes back to a discussion I had actually on the air with a guy named Art Bell many, many years ago, back in the 90s. I used to do a Christmas special with Art Bell just about every year. And one year we were talking about the Russian space program. And just kind of out of the middle of it, Art brought up he said, you know, Jim, isn't it amazing that your comet stuff has so much resistance, and just it's very clear that this dirty snowball concept has no validity? And he said, why is it? What's the resistance here? What is the problem? And why is NASA so intent on maintaining this dirty snowball comet model? And I gave an answer something like this. I said, well, it's the egos at NASA. There's all of these publications have the dirty snowball comet model. There's a cascade effect, a domino effect, in which once you learn that's wrong, then there's all kinds of other theories in space science that are wrong. And I said, there's egos involved. And he said, no. He said, all of that can be overcome. He said, something else, something bigger is going on, where this is being controlled, the education process is being controlled. And then after a while it dawned on me, actually years later, that Art was right. He had a lot of perception into the human situation and as an interviewer and as interviewing about topics. And certainly there was, because if everybody understood that comets were not dirty snowballs and they were electrical in nature, the very first thing they would ask about is, why don't we grab some of this electricity out there and use it? Why don't we replace oil and coal and nuclear power with this free electricity that's flowing by us every day? And also it would open up the entire chasm of topics dealing with Velikovsky, the fact that history that's being taught today is wrong, the fact that if you go into the ancient texts, banking and interest is actually outlawed in the ancient texts. It opens up such a can of worms that you can't even imagine it. And so old art had it right on the, hit the nail right on the head. Something bigger was going on there. So looking at the calculate primes issue, once again, something much bigger is going on here. And so once I started looking into this, I'm going, well, what is it about prime numbers? And then it dawned on me. The secret societies probably for centuries have worshipped, and they use numerology a lot, like 911 was not just an accident. That was a very well chosen date by these secret societies, the European banking community, to put the bolts to the United States, to start taking control and bringing the United States down. That was part of the plan. So what is it about prime numbers that they really didn't want the public to learn about? Well, I started to look at the dates. Let's look at just a couple basic dates. 911, a combination prime number. And then let's add 6. Now, in prime number analysis, it's always been known that 6 was a... many prime numbers differ by 6. And so if you add 6 months to 911, lo and behold, you end up with March 11th, the day that the earthquakes hit Japan this past recently. And so 6 months later. And so, I'm sorry, it's 311. Let me put it so it'd be September, October, November, December, January, February. It's February, March, and so that's 6 months. So it's March 11th, I'm sorry, was exactly 6 months afterwards. So there you have that prime. And so the other thing is, it's very clear that throughout history, the ability to have an unbreakable code for their dates, which obviously they've been using prime numbers, thinking that the codes they were using, the relationships, would have no association. And here I come along and write a book, Decoding the Prime Numbers, something in their wildest dreams through the last thousands of years. They had no idea that such a thing would be possible. All of the mathematicians throughout history said it would not be possible. So at any rate, it's now becoming clear that dating and numerology is very important to the secret societies that are pulling these events. And I started to look at the earthquake patterns on the March 11th earthquakes, series of earthquakes in Japan. There were over 50 major earthquakes right in that same region that sent the tsunami into Japan. I think it was a little overkill, but from all practical purposes, it's starting to sound to me like there were probably 50 small nuclear tactical bombs in those caverns, in those crevices, in the plate boundaries that were ready to go to set off those earthquakes that rocked Japan and sent the tsunamis into Japan. Whirlpools that formed also would indicate that an underground explosion occurred where the water would lift up and then drop down in a centralized location. Not characteristic of an underwater landslide and not characteristic of other types of earthquake activity. So, of course, you would get a tsunami from those type of activities, landslides, but not the whirlpool type activity that was observed in that area after the earthquakes and after the tsunami. Okay, so at any rate, very strange situation, but that's something that I'll continue to report on, because, as I say, the very strange reception of something that should be probably the most significant achievement in mathematics in the last 2,500 years, the ability to directly calculate prime numbers, which are the basis of all numbers and the basis of all mathematics. What's the problem here? And there again, you see the control that these groups have over university professors. Now, and I've seen this repeatedly, where we would talk to people in universities, and they were absolutely ecstatic, excited, and then you talk to them 2 weeks later, and it's like they didn't want to even pick up the phone and talk to you. Somebody had scared the you-know-what right out of these people, and this was very consistent with the people who had been presented with the issues of prime numbers. Okay, so on to a few other topics. Let me quick do a product update and a food update here. As we're regarding food, once again, the radiation accumulation in food, it looks like from everything we can see now that there is going to be a worldwide food shortage that's already underway. I have this past week pulled the grab-and-go buckets off my webpage. The lead time's got to be too much. We're processing anybody that has orders in. We're getting those out in very short order. But as far as new orders, I can't justify taking any more right now. If that changes, I'll let people know. But anybody that has orders in, you're going to see them very soon if you haven't already received them. A lot of people have already received their orders. So whether they were the old Mountain House, some Mountain House has been dribbling in to fill some orders, and then some is being converted. That's the best thing I can say about that. But the one thing I will say is that there is going to be, without doubt, a food shortage. It's already in play. And, for example, let's look at England. The warm water that should already be moving up there to give them a warm summer is not there. England will not have a good growing season this year. Australia flooded out from one wall to the other this past year. Russia with already a crop failure. Japan in total confusion, but obviously with no ability to sustain itself with food. California in danger of having, that's the breadbasket of the United States right now, as far as vegetables, fruit, and main products like that, in danger of radiation poisoning right now, accumulation of radiation in the food. And right now, here's another article that just came in this past week. The EPA is raising the standard sometimes by as much as a million in the level of radiation, acceptable radiation for food, water, and the environment. This is being done behind closed doors, and the obvious reason is to protect the nuclear industry because they want to put more nuclear reactors in the United States. Germany announced this week that they have closed 8 nuclear reactors, some of their older reactors, and the rest of them they were closing as soon as they can power them down. Germany is going to go with less available power try and figure out how to bring in alternative power. They're looking at wind solutions, but Germany is just basically pulling the plug on nuclear power. They have voted nuclear power out of existence. And, of course, the United States, industry owns government here. So we're stuck with nuclear power plants all over the place on potential fault lines. And you can see that once one of these babies goes off, it's the end. And that's the thing that people have never really understood about nuclear power. All the claims of safety, all the claims of the ability to store the waste safely. Once one of these babies goes off, that's the end of the story, because the wind is going to do the rest. It's going to take that fallout, and it's going to poison everything until everybody is dead. So Germany taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, and shutting down all nuclear power. We should be doing that in this country, but as I said, the people have no power. So once again, the situation in California, however, is that they are receiving radiation from Japan, something that's totally underreported. You can report it in this country. You can see by the actions of the EPA trying to raise the levels, the so-called acceptable levels, some of them to the point where if people were exposed to these levels of radiation, 1 in 4 people would get cancer in very short order. That's the type of maneuvering that's going on in Washington these days. So at any rate, as far as food is concerned, I don't see any way around this. The United States, the majority of the breadbasket of the United States, the states from Indiana through Kansas and from Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas on south, the majority of this land completely depleted of nutrients. It's some of the most nutrient-depleted land in the world due to farming practices. There is no wind belts that were required back in the 1930s during the Dust Bowl. The United States is headed for a bruising, and our politicians have absolutely no ability to do anything. You have people in the White House and in government and Congress that simply don't know anything. All they know how to do is take a bribe. Just a quick note, there was a publication put out recently. 40% of the income of the United States is borrowing to cover the deficit. Now, say that you have a credit card debt, and you say you have a $20,000 credit card debt, and the interest on that credit card debt is, let's say, 10%, which would be pretty good given the horrific rates that the credit card rates that are being imposed today, some as high as 26%, which means if you make your standard payment, you will lose ground every month. But at any rate, the United States borrows 40% from fictitious bankers in England and in Europe who have no more money than you and I, simply to pay the interest on the deficit. This is deficit spending, deficit interest, and that's why the United States is terminally in debt, and it'll never get out. The only way, the possible way of dealing with this is to throw out the bankers, throw out the debt, and I always wanted to meet the guy that's got so much money that all the countries in the world owe this person. So clearly the only way they can do it is with phony money. Let me see. I want to talk a bit about the storm systems that ran through this country this past week. April 17th, in the prior few days, the days prior to that, running through the southern states, 240 tornadoes in all, 92 of these being killer tornadoes in the southern states from Oklahoma, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, and Virginia, and actually a couple in Louisiana. But the sun has been throwing out some fairly significant flares this past week. And over the past a week and a half, I should say. So clearly that's what's going on. We really don't have any significant electrical alignments in the solar system. I'll be talking about, there have been speculations that Comet Elenin was involved. And there again, right now, as I said, I'm going to look into this further. It's going to take equipment. It's going to take time. But there's some real issues going on there with credibility on all of those topics. So there again, I'm not going to put my foot in a trap that's trying to be set by NASA and the disinformation crews. But at any rate, the sun has been putting out some tremendous flaring over the past week, which is not that terribly unusual given that we're heading into the next solar cycle, but clearly related to that solar activity. Here's another story that I did want to cover this week. Bosnia, I announced a few weeks ago, has announced that they have pyramids, and they're digging these up. A number of people have gone there, and a guy named Zahi Hawass of Egypt has been instrumental internationally in stifling any research or any acknowledgement that there are, in fact, antiquities in Bosnia, which in fact could very much outdate the Egyptian pyramids. Egypt makes the vast majority of its income on tourism, visiting the antiquities of Egypt. But it was very interesting. Now, it's a guy who's been at the right hand of the World Secret Societies in terms of interpreting antiquities in Egypt and maintaining the world view of antiquities and dating and our so-called knowledge of history, all of a sudden he is pulled off the market and stuck in prison for some what appears to be an extremely minor land dispute. And so it looks like he may have crossed the paths of the ruling elite. And it's hard to say exactly what he did, but people like this don't just drop off the map overnight for no good reason. There's something is going on here, and I really don't know enough about what happened to this guy. But to see someone like that who for a very long time has been in absolute dictatorial control of antiquities in Egypt, to see him fall off the map like he just did was very interesting. So there's a lot of movement going on. And remember that the secret societies, their very favorite thing is the antiquities. The let's take an example. When George Bush Jr. went in to attack Iraq, the second Iraq war, so to speak, the biggest motivation for going in quickly was because Saddam's archaeologists had just uncovered a Babylon-type city with what were reported to be advanced civilization artifacts being dug up. And so the real reason for getting in there right away wasn't to protect oil and give the money back to the children of Iraq, like Bush said on the air. And, of course, that guy could lie out of three sides of his mouth at once. The real reason for choosing to go in at that time was to raid the Baghdad Antiquity Museums. And I remember seeing a picture of the curator of that museum after the first day of the so-called Iraq War. The curator of the museum was sitting on the front steps of the museum in Iraq with his head in his hands. And they interviewed him and they said that the CIA had basically come in under protection of the U.S. military and robbed the museum in Baghdad. And this guy said they knew exactly where to go to get the good stuff. And we all know what he was talking about. He was talking about the advanced knowledge that was in these archives in Iraq. And so now we see this guy in Egypt, in what's his name again, Zahi Hawass, and being taken out of his position, his lofty position, which he has had for a long time. Very strange events, very strange movements going on in the world today. But as I always said, for this guy, he shook hands with the Bushes, and that's a bad thing to do. Don't ever do it. Let's see. I could give you some examples there. But don't ever shake hands with the Bushes or the Clintons. Not exactly the kind of people, down-home people, that you want to be dealing with. Let's see. I was talking about food. I'm just going to give a quick product update. As I said, I took the grab-and-go buckets off the webpage. Anybody that has orders in, you should see it pretty soon if you haven't already received it. We're working overtime getting those done on the pre-filters. there has been very heavy ordering on the pre-filters, and for good reason. We've beefed up the ordering and to keep those in stock, so I've not had to take that off the web page. I want to give out the mail order address. Quite a few people have been ordering this by mail, which surprised me. So I'll give that mail order address out. It's JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota is MN, 55392. I'll give that out in a second again. It's JMCC, P.O. Box 58, Navarre, N-A-V-A-R-R-E, Minnesota, 55392. And the pre-filter is $199. That's for the main pre-filter unit. It comes with the powders, the various powders that you would use in it. These are medical and food-grade powders that are designed to take out the oil, chemicals, and radiation out of water before it goes into your water filter. It fits any type of water filter, any of the standard countertop, the Dalton, and there's a number of on the market water filters. It fits any of these water filters, and it pre-filters your water before it goes into your water filter. The accessory kit, by the way, the pre-filter contains the hardened plastic housing. It contains some hardware that's required. It contains a cap which distributes the water around through the filter, and then it contains the powders, so everything you need. And then there's an accessory kit. By the way, that's $199. That includes shipping to the 50 states. There is an accessory set which includes additional powders. It's the same set of powders that comes with the pre-filter, but you get an additional set by buying the accessory kit. And there are also paper spacers that are required in the operation, so you get 50 more of those. So you get all of the disposable stuff that comes with the pre-filter. You get that in the accessory kit, and that's $90, and I would recommend, too, that you get that so that you have extra powders and extra the filter paper separators that are required for the use. So that's always a good idea. Then you have enough for future use. So once again, it's $199 for the pre-filter, and it's called the Universal Chem Rad Oil Pre-Filter. It's universal because it fits any of the filters. And associated accessory kit, $90, and that's includes shipping. Both of those include shipping to the 50 states. And I'm going to spend the last minutes here talking about Comet Elenin. I'm becoming a little bit too popular lately, so I have to watch my backside, as they say. I'm going to make a comment once again. Is Comet Elenin real? And I'll be doing research here in the next weeks. All of the information, all of the misinformation sites are really just pounding on this. All of the disinformation crew are out there, and they're now here's what's happening. People are trying to use my name, interpret my comet science, and say that Comet Elenin has already changed the polar axis of the Earth, that there's going to be gravitational influence, and they're setting up electrical alignments, like I say, trying to use my science to analyze Comet Elenin. And when I look through all of the effects of Comet Elenin, I really don't see anything big at all. And when this first started, some people asked me, they said, could I do an analysis? And I said, yeah, there's really not a lot to this. There are no major combinational electrical alignments. There's some things that could kick off a bit of weather, but it's not something that would cause people to run and jump off buildings or eat extra poison in their porridge this week or their pudding. But there's talk about people mass suicide, and they're reopening the topic of Heaven's Gate. And remember that Heaven's Gate was what they tried to use to destroy Art Bell. So what I'm seeing here more than anything is a big effort to try and destroy my name. And so when I see Comet Ellen and I see what's going on the Internet, besides the fact that there's simply no photos of this. NASA has not provided a single photo from all of their telescopes and their infrared telescopes and their X-ray telescopes that they use to monitor comets. Not a single photo coming out of NASA. The only thing NASA has provided is this orbit of the alleged comet Ellen. There's other reports that it's under intelligent control. They're also starting with the companion issue. Comet Ellen has companions. Now, there's some photos that are on the Internet, supposedly from amateurs, that show a big orange ball with a companion. Well, that's not what comets look like. This comet right now is in prime viewing condition, supposedly, according to the NASA orbital analysis, between us and Jupiter in the middle of the night sky. So why aren't there millions of amateurs out there snapping photos and sending these to like a web page that would certainly be hosted by Sky and Telescope or Astronomy Magazine or any of these online like you've seen in the past? None of this is happening. So the best thing, by the way, if Tom and Ellen is real, what I've said on my show last week is that Earth will probably have a bigger effect on the comet in the September-October timeframe than the comet will have on Earth. And we could get some activity, some storm activity, because that's the heart of the hurricane season. We could also be doubled up. We could have some effects by increased solar activity. But it's not the comet that you would write home about, not all of this immense publicity that's coming, that it's the size of Jupiter, that it's Planet X, it's Nibiru, all of this misinformation. There are people out there claiming that I said on my last interview on Coast to Coast, February 16th, saying that I claimed that Planet X is in the solar system. I never said that. So you start to see what's going on here. What I see is a vast misinformation campaign aimed at me. So not like I haven't been the target of anything before, but I'm sure I'm starting to become a little too successful, and I'm reaching more and more people, and the things I'm doing, like the pre-filter, are things that people need. So at any rate, I'm not going to go into that any longer. Let me talk a little bit about what happened once before. There was a comet named Hale-Bopp, which received some bad publicity at the hands of the misinformation crew. And to see their reaction to that comet, now I want to mention something also. Since they brought up the issue of Heaven's Gate, it's very clear that suicide, and by the way, it's explained on Wikipedia, the misinformation site controlled by the government, that this was somehow a suicide. It was very clear to all people who were involved in this that this was a mass murder situated and you have to understand who the Heaven's Gate group were. They were doing encryption codes and firewalls that the government couldn't break. And so the CIA was very much after these people. There was most of the misinformation people out there today came from a group that worked on something called Promise Software. It was supposedly the operating environment, secure operating environment for the government. And so they wanted the Heaven's Gate people out of there. It so happens that the Heaven's Gate people were also very interested in Comet Hale-Bopp, so it was a very convenient way to get rid of these people all at one fell swoop. So at any rate, what amounted to what appears to be and what's being broadcast as a mass suicide, in which they also tried to wrap Art Bell in and damage his name, his good name, was all a big CIA operation. So at any rate, I can see the same people involved in this, the same people trying to go after me. And I'll be talking a lot about this because it's very clear that that's what's going on at this time. And that whole issue, by the way, there are people that claim to have professional astronomers, and that's the same type of strange, bizarre situation that happened with Hale-Bopp, where people had gotten pictures from, remember, Courtney Brown and Chuck Schrammick. These were the photos of Hale-Bopp that were put up by Art Bell. He got them from Courtney Brown, who is a professional astronomer, who had gotten the photos from Ali Hainau of the Astronomy Hawaii Astronomical Observatory. And these were photos that actually showed the companion of Hale-Bopp. So it looks like they're now doing, this is a very complicated story. So I'll be explaining that in future episodes. But just understand that I know this history very well. I know the people that were involved in this, and it's very interesting to see some of the names and some of the faces that seem to be emerging as this new wave of misinformation regarding Comet Elenin emerges. Is there something to Comet Elenin? I really don't know at this point, and I'm not going to say for sure until I do my own personal investigation. But at this point, it seems that Comet Elenin is a big government misinformation campaign. And everybody's out there. Now, the other thing is that I noticed that people are trying to contact me, telling them how afraid they are of Comet Elenin. And that's due to websites that they've read about the tremendous impact that this is going to have. I saw one website that claimed there would be a lot of suicides, that this would be like Heaven's Gate, this would be even bigger than Hale-Bopp, and on and on and on. So, as I said, this looks like a very big misinformation campaign, and from the number of websites using my name and using my material and trying to interpret it incorrectly, I might add, that this looks like a giant misinformation campaign targeted at myself. Tonight's main science topic, I was going to talk about seamounts, and I'll leave that up to another show in the future. The seamounts are flat plates that of land that are under the ocean, and that's a topic that deserves a tremendous amount of attention. So, over the next number of weeks, I'll be doing some more work on Comet Elenin, and also just point out that, as I said, in the September-October time frame, there will be, if this Comet Elenin is real and if it's coming on the path given by the NASA computerized orbital analysis, then between September and October will be a very good viewing time where we should be able to see from a broadside view of the comet, and potentially the sunward spike would be very visible to amateur astronomers, establishing for about the 87th time that comets are not dirty snowballs and that the electrical spike is in fact sunward and not an optical illusion as the NASA scientists would want you to believe. So I'll be covering those topics. And as the misinformation crew tries to gear up on this Comet Elenin issue, first of all, I want to get real information to the public. Is Comet Elenin real? If it is it big? If it is, what is the real orbit of Comet Elenin? Have that established. And then analyze what its potential for this comet might be coming into the summer months, into September through November, and then discuss the viewing opportunities and talk about the potential it has for Earth, and also dispel the rumors that this has already changed the Earth's axis and its Planet X and its Nibiru and all of these other things. So at any rate, and by the way, as I looked into this, a lot of the old topics are being revived on YouTube and on other locations on the internet. So all I can say is buyer beware if you're looking around YouTube or the internet or other pages. And once again, if you want to know what I say about things, come to my webpage. Don't look on other websites. And one by one, we'll be dealing with these websites to get my name off of there in the coming week, and it's something that we'll be very observant of in the future. Websites trying to use my name, trying to interpret my work, and then, so at any rate, we'll see you next week. This is Jim McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always,